Amen. Yesterday I went golfing with my dad and brother-in-laws and nephews, and it was hot out there. It was supposed to rain, and went from supposed to rain to no clouds in the sky for a long time. And I tell you what, when I was done playing, I downed water and Gatorade and Gatorade and water, and it's kind of how I feel right now. So. Hallelujah. Enjoy the presence of God. Hallelujah. He's good to us. Just kind of meditating on what to minister this morning. I really wasn't getting anything specific as, you know, to go a different direction. And I kind of, every now and then when that happens, you kind of revisit. You go where you were just at. Say, Lord, is there something else? And that's where I felt like we were supposed to go back this morning and talk a little bit more about the favor of God. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1 and start there, because I want to just tag this on as a extension of our series that we did last week. So it'll be a 3-message series. And so we're going to lay a little bit of foundation looking back. And hallelujah, and then move forward. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance of the land, which I sworn to your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law," everything in the law. Really, it's that. That means it's talking about the word, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper, whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Yes, you have. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. So last week we really set out, last Sunday morning, we set out at the beginning of the message, that first part of be strong and of good courage. And I know that, you know, some people, that's enough to really be strong and of good courage and be valiant and fight, you know, and that kind of stuff. And that's enough to really kind of give them an idea. But I also believe I think you're underestimating what it says by just thinking of being of good courage and be strong. All right, I'll be strong. Because those words would be better translated, be hard-headed and obstinate. Now, again, don't be hard-headed and obstinate when God tells you to do something. There's some people that really take a lot of pride in the fact that they're hard-headed and obstinate. In other words, go ahead and tell me to do something, and you'll see whether I want to do it or not. And so they kind of pride themselves on being hard. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about going around giving everybody a hard time. What we're dealing with is these three areas where it says be strong and of good courage, or be hard-headed and obstinate. First of all, regarding the area of, let me make sure to be obstinate just simply means stubbornly adhering to an opinion, purpose, or course in spite of reasons, arguments, and persuasions. The best reasoning that people could give you, you're adhering to a certain way of thinking. So that's being obstinate. Well, we get that, but that's where the Holy Spirit wants. He pointed out three things. He said, I want you to be obstinate when it comes to your inheritance. If God said you can have it, take it. Don't let anything, anybody stop you from enjoying what God said you could have. Number two, be hard-headed, be obstinate, be stubborn regarding the Word of God. If the Word of God has said something, do it. If the Word of God has said something, believe it. If God's Word said it, that settles it. I know some people, again, we look back at that the way we think. People have said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And the truth of the matter is, God said it, that settles it. Now, whether you believe it or not, that determines whether it's settled in your heart, in your life, whether you're going to enjoy it. God said it, that makes it truth. So when God has spoken it, if you said it, that's why verse 6 goes on, or verse 8 goes, says, don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate therein day and night. Do what it says. Be obstinate about it. People say, well, there's other things you need to spend your time on. No, there's not. Be obstinate about the Word of God. If He says it, do it. If he directs you, or if He says it, do it. If He says this is the way you go, but be obstinate about it. Contrary to reason or persuasion, say, no, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. That's one of my favorite stories about my dad. We had a well-known evangelist, teacher really more than an evangelist. He came to our church, our Grace Ministries. I'm telling you what, it was back when Jesse and I were youth pastors there. So it was in the late 90s, mid-90s, mid to late 90s. How about that? And he started his teaching, and he was giving an example about where he went over to Germany, and he goes over to Germany. I go over to Germany quite often. And he said, you know, when you go over to Germany, if you don't drink beer, they will not listen to you. And so he said, when I go over there, he said, I don't drink beer. I don't believe in drinking beer here. But when I go over there, I drink it because it opens doors for ministry over there. Well, my dad got talking to him outside of the pulpit, because most of us are going, what you talking about, Willis, right? And so my dad got talking to him, sitting around the dinner table one day, and he got talking to him about that. And the guy goes, it's just the way it is. He said, if you don't drink their beer and stuff, he said, I'll go over to other cultures where it's wine. And if you don't drink that, they won't receive from you. And my dad looked at him and said, and this guy's favorite statement was, you can believe what you want, I'll stick with the Word on this. And so my dad looked at him, goes, called him by name and says, I'll tell you what, you can believe what you want to believe, but I'm going to stick with the Word on this. If God said, don't do it, don't even look at the wine as it sparkles in the glass, that's what I'm going to adhere to. And we've had Pastor Jim's gone over there. And, you know, Pastor Jim was an alcoholic when he was a teenager. He functioned in high school having alcohol in the system. And when he got born again, God miraculously delivered him. And he has promised. He said, hey, God's delivered me. I'm not going to take it lightly, and I will not allow another drop of alcohol in my body. And so he's gone over to Brussels, Belgium. He's gone overseas to those areas where they drink beer. And he's had this first time, they brought a beer to him, and he said, get it away from me. And they said, oh, come on. That's an American religion. That's an American. And he said, no, I've been redeemed and I have been delivered from alcoholism, and I will not allow another drop in this body. And he said, if God has got it, you know, and they kind of get on him about it some. They don't do it anymore. But you know what, God, they still invite him back. God still moves powerfully in spite of him obeying the Word of God. Let's stick with the Word on things, amen? The Word of God says it, be obstinate about it. And, of course, the third one is be obstinate and hard-headed regarding fear. When the world, when everybody around you, when the news people want to try to paint pictures of fear for your life, no, I'm not going to be afraid. But you need to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. My dad was talking about that. I've heard this. My dad read the book, and he was sharing it last night. This lady who who had been over in, do you remember what the country she was in, Jessica? She's in another country where you just don't eat everything they lay out. Well, there was a wedding celebration or some kind of festivity that they were at, and they had this big salad. And she hadn't had a salad in months or years. She was so excited about it. She's got a healing ministry. So she got there, and she began, I don't know if she got to the salad yet, because everybody else, what was it? Cholera. There was cholera in it. And so everybody in the place just began getting deathly sick, puking and pooping and stuff. They set up a tent nearby this place, and people would go in there, and they would basically put them on a cot, and a bucket would be at the mouth at the top of it, and a hole in the middle of it. Because they couldn't get up. They were so weak they couldn't get up. And so a lot of people started blaming her. I don't know why they blamed her, but they blamed her for it coming on them. And so she took a pastor in there. And I best I can tell is that she took every person in there that was sick with that and took them and grabbed them in her arms and face to face with all that stuff all over them, all that stink on there, and held them. And I don't know how long she hold them. He didn't really say, but they just held her face to face with those people in the stink and in the disease. And she just began going through there. Took her 4 hours to get everybody and to do it with her and this other pastor doing it. And other doctors were coming in going, "You are foolish. You are foolish to do this. Do you not understand? You are risking your life for these people. You are foolish to do this." Well, long story short, within 3 days, everybody that had gotten sick in that thing, some just within minutes after she did that, others there was took a little more time, but everyone was healed. And the doctors came up afterwards and said, "I want you working with me. I want you by my side." But she was obstinate about doing what God told her to do. She was obstinate about keeping fear out, right? And so she saw the manifestation of God. And I know I'm not doing a good job. Goodness gracious, I just teach. So when it starts coming out at me, it's going to come out a little different. But the Holy Spirit wants us. There's a reason He has us repeat things. So beloved, God wants us to be obstinate about what He's promised us, what He said we could have. And again, the thing that the Holy Spirit told me last week is that we need to be obstinate regarding the favor of God in our lives. In other words, that obstinate means that, you know, we don't allow anything to redirect us from His favor. That we understand His favor, that we think about His favor, that we prioritize His favor, that it becomes the number one thing that we think about. And we don't let anybody tell us different. That, you know, again, last week I know we went into things like Psalm 91, where 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. People will try to say, "Hey, no. If it's happening to everybody else, just be ready because it's going to happen to you." We've got to be obstinate and say, "No, it's not going to happen to me. It's just not going to happen to me." And I believe we're in a time and a place where we need to be more aware, recognizing the favor of God, but become more obstinate about it. But do you know who is the president, or who is, you know, this group of people or that group of people? None of that matters. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's good if we can get the right people in the right places. None of it matters in that area. Because when the favor of God's with you, you're going to prosper in spite of who's in the White House. Amen. Amen. I think most of y'all know who my stance on it, so I'll just leave it at that. But God highly treasures you and wants to show you off. He talks about you. He thinks about you. He's got you tattooed on the palm of His hands. And the enemy will do anything within his ability to either get you complacent regarding the favor, where you don't think about it very much. Because again, when you don't think about the favor, even when it does happen, you're not really, you don't identify it as favor. You identify it, oh, that's cool. And then later on, when somebody else starts talking about the favor of God happening in their lives, you sometimes, well, I got passed by. I haven't had the favor of God work for me for months. When you have, but you just haven't had your mind set on it. So the enemy wants to take away your expectation for favor, your thoughts about favor. He wants to make you feel bad about favor. That's one of them that I recognize so much that the enemy start talking to you about, well, you know, what about other people? What about other churches? What about other pastors? What about other, you know, why do you need this? And he'll try to make you feel bad about God doing you a favor. Listen, I think we talked about this not too long ago, it seems, that when you don't know who God is, that's where you start feeling bad about receiving certain things from him. Because when you know that all the silver and all the gold are his, that the cattle on the thousand hills are his, that the earth and the fullness thereof is his, when you understand that, you understand that just because he blesses your socks off doesn't mean he can't bless other people's socks off. He's got a whole lot more than just to take care of you. So go ahead and let him do you favors. Amen. Amen. All right, that's sufficient. So we got into going last week on the favor of God. And just for sake of just making sure we're on the same page, a couple of the wordings regarding the favor of God is preferential treatment. God doing preferential things to you that he doesn't do to everybody else. So, God plays favorites? Yeah. So, God prefers other people? Now, he's an equal opportunity God. Everyone in this room has a chance to operate as God's favorite. The question becomes, will you? Will you allow yourself to be? Unfair partiality is one of my favorite terms on it, because that really gives you the taste of that it's not fair. Sorry, Charlie, right? God prefers other, prefers me. He loves me. The object of his affection, the other definition that we use often is things are done for us that are not done for everyone. Now, again, some people are getting that bent. Well, I don't think God works that way. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. That's what the favor of God is. All right? So that's the first thing. But the second thing is yeah, God said, Jesus said that. I've referred to this. I won't get there. John 14, where the Judas, not Iscariot, said, so God? So, Jesus, you're telling us that you'll manifest yourself to some and not to others? And Jesus said, yeah, if you love me and you're my sheep and that, I'll reveal myself to you. So, yeah, he will. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it's not going to come nigh you. Yeah, he'll do you favors that he's not doing for everybody else. But again, last week, and this was the most important thing I think we talked about last week, and it was really the foundation of is that it comes down to relationship. That favor is an extension of the relationship you have with God. The deeper your relationships, the more familiar are with favor. Amen? And so that's where we finished last week, is just talking about that. Today I want to start out, yes, I'm starting now, Luke chapter 2. Go to Luke chapter 2. Hallelujah. I want you to remember this, because there's some people that say grace and favor are synonymous, that they mean the same thing. Grace is God's ability on you for you to do what you couldn't do. Favor is God influencing others on your behalf. Grace is God on you. Favor is God on other people for you. So some people get the thought, well, I don't believe in favor because, you know, they'll maybe talk about free will or that God can do, that people do whatever they want to do. But see, that kind of goes into that mentality, is that God will speak to them in a way that'll make them think it's their idea. Yeah. I'm sure some of us have had that same thing where God speaks to us and we think that we came up with a great idea and God's like, yeah. So God can, I can't say usurp their authority, but he's not going to force anybody to do anything, but he'll speak in their head and get them to do something that they think is their idea. And before they know what they're doing. Amen. So that's just always important to remember, is that when we're talking about favor, we're talking about God working in others to affect us in a positive way. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and man." So Jesus increased. So what does this mean? It means that there was one point that he would have been at this level of the favor of God and man. And as he went through life and as he matured and as he got, as he learned things, as he put certain things to work, as he was obedient to the Father, as he did the things necessary, he found himself at a deeper level of the favor of God. You know, when you get into this thing and you start hearing about the favor of God, you might start seeing little things here and there. I think that's the importance of saying things like testimonies of even parking spots or lanes opening up at Walmart, which is sometimes a miracle. You know, that's the importance of those little things, because those little things get your expectations higher for bigger things. But as you increase in the levels in the area of the favor of God, the miracles or the things that you begin walking in gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So we need to take our expectation from that area of, well, I believe for a good parking spot. I'm believing for an open lane. I'm believing for this, to the magnificent, where we can start believing, I'm believing for, financial increase, or people coming to my door daily, bringing me money, bringing me finances. That our expectation gets higher because our level of the favor, we increase in the favor of God and man. There is an increase of favor that happens in us. And we've got to, recognize it, believe it, expect it, so that it will come to manifestation. So what I want to do is that if there's ways of increasing the favor, well, it's got to be in Scripture, doesn't it? God will show us some areas, ways that we can increase in the favor of God. Now, I don't know that this is an exhaustive study, but I want to point out a couple ways of increasing the favor of God in your life. And the first one, let's go to Psalm 119. And we'll read verse 58. We'll start there. And it gives us, I believe, there's about three things in here in this passage that tells us what we can do to increase our favor. Psalm 119, verse 58. It says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Now, I don't know about you. I've not used the word entreated much. Amen. When I think of entreated, when we would use entreated, our thought would be, I greatly desire. You know what I would greatly desire? You know what I would passionately desire? This word is a word, that word entreat means desire. Matter of fact, I think if you look at other translations, it says, I desire. John, flip it over to the Amplified just to see what the Amplified reads here. Okay, it says entreated. How about the New Living Translation? We should have it. Some of them must have gotten. We need to update that again. But just do it on any of the other one, the other ones. Okay, I beg. That's the Message translation. I beg. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a picture of it. Is there one other? I sought for. Okay, that one works too. Go ahead and go back to King James. So entreated gives a picture of desired, looked for, wanted. But if you'll look that word up in the Strong's or the Thayer's, actually Strong's, it paints the picture of sick. Let me look that up just so. Because I was looking at it and I was like, okay, what in the world is it trying to tell me here? So to be worn, to be weak, sick, afflicted, to grieve, to make sick, diseased, grieved. I mean, it's a matter of, you look at it and you go, what is that? But it means to desire, to want as a part of yourself. And I just got that revelation that all those extra words that it brings in there is the passion and the desire that's behind it. One more than anything else, the favor of God. I mean the psalmist here, his desire for it is beyond passionate. It is something, if he does not have the favor of God, I'm worthless. There ain't nothing worth living for. I am weak without the favor of God. And as I read that was the first thing I got revelation on this passage of Scripture. And I got that point, is that, beloved, that you've got to have such a passion. If you want to increase in it, your passion for the favor of God has to increase. You got to want it. You got to want to carry it out. You got to want to display it every day. You got to want to let people see it every day. You got to want to be different. You got to want to enjoy it and let people see it in your life. You got to want it. It's got to be the thing that you, I want the favor of God. Because that's the picture he says here. I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. When I wake up with an expectation of the favor of God in my life. When I go to bed counting the blessings. I don't count sheep, I count the blessings of God that he bestowed on me. When I go to work, I just expect the blessings of God, expect the favor of God to be manifested in my life. Because I'm nothing without it. So number one is, and I'm just going to put it like this, desire his favor. Passionately desire his favor. Want it. Believe for it. Think about it. Because the enemy wants to take that away from you. Again, that's what we're dealing with here, is this obstinance of favor. The enemy wants to take away, and he wants to try to get you to convince, well, you're no better than everybody else. Au contraire. I'm in a covenant relationship with a God who said that He hung the stars for me. I am the cat's meow. Right? But you've got to passionately desire it. Because if you don't desire it, probably not going to happen. And it's definitely not going to increase. And I tell you this much. The more you've tasted, the more you've tasted of the favor, the more you want the favor. It's fun. This weekend, we were going to play golf yesterday, and it was supposed to rain most of the morning. And I just early in the week, I said, no, we'll be fine. And my nephew, who took care of the tee times, said, should we move it up? See if we can miss it. And I'm like, nah, we're okay. You know, it's no big. And man, goodness, it rained a little bit in spots last night, just kind of periodically a little bit. But it was so hot. I should have believed for cool weather, but you know, that's my fault on that one. But it's fun having the authority over the weather. It just is. We went down to Destin, and it was supposed to rain every day. I think it rained a couple overnights, and I had one time that it rained when we were going down to the beach and going to the pool. Hey, the pool wasn't bad. We just got in the pool. It rained. We got wet. So it's fun. It's fun. Well, it's because I'm God's favorite. Amen. Now, again, a lot of people don't have this operating in their lives. They even Christians, even people that believe there's favor of God, they don't have this operating in their lives. It's because they don't think about it. They don't think about it much. They don't know about it, or they've forgotten about it. And of course, that brings up the Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "My people are destroyed because they don't know about it." Okay, so you know about it. What's the what happens then? Because you've rejected it. In other words, you've kind of put it aside. I'll also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing how thou hast forgotten it, the law, so you forget about it, you're not going to operate as my kids. Now think about this. My kids, I think, usually have pretty good Christmases. We spend a couple dollars on our kids, and people could say, well, what have you done for my children? They ain't my children. I'm not in a relationship with them. I'm in a relationship with my kids. I get my kids good and perfect gifts. That's the way it rolls. Now they are my children. They have the relationship. They have the access to my favor, me doing them favors. Getting them cars, getting them whatever, sending them money, buying them stuff. They have that access. But now, let's say they decide, I'm going to move hours away from you, and I'm not going to tell you where I'm at, and I'm not going to spend any time with you, and I'm not going to talk to you, and I'm not going to. They have cut it off. They've rejected. They have moved away from me. Therefore, they're not going to enjoy the same favor. And even though they are my children, they're not going to operate as children because they're not going to be able to get the same stuff. I could still go out and buy them hundreds of dollars worth of gifts at Christmas time. But if they're not with me, if they're not under me, then they still don't get. You follow me on that? So if you don't know about favor, it'll affect you. If you reject it, which there are Christians that reject it. And again, it's because the enemy plants those thoughts in their heads. Or if you have forgotten about it, you're going to operate not as the children of God, getting all the favors of God. So the first thing I believe that if you want an increase in the favor is that passionate desire for the favor. Now, number two, it goes on. It says, I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to the law. I thought on my ways. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. Okay, so here we see the psalmist greatly desiring more favor of God. And verse 59, it shows us what he did to get more favor. It says he thought on his ways. He thought about what he was doing. So, beloved, I believe if you're going to increase in the favor of God, then your lifestyle is going to have to be pleasing to God. Again, this comes down to the relationship that we have. Your lifestyle has everything to do with the favor of God increasing in your life. You say, what? Go over to Haggai. Keep your place there because we're going to read one more scripture there. Go over to Haggai chapter 1. Build on this thought. The second one, if you want to put number 2 down, I would just say consider your ways or think on your ways. I think is the best way to put it. Haggai chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Remember, they had built their own house. They'd come back and they'd built their own houses. They'd been taking care of their own stuff and they'd left the house of God in ruins. And so he says, "Therefore, now consider your ways." Verse 6, "You have sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink and are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And that he that and he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes in it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So in other words, they were children of God. They knew God. They knew what he said they could have. They knew his blessings. But there were some things that they were not doing right. There were some things that they were not doing that they should have been doing, and they needed to consider and to look at them and think on them in order to correct them. Consider your ways. The word ways means course of actions, your methods, your manners, your conduct and behavior. So in other words, things aren't going the way they need to go. You want them to start going the way that they're supposed to go and increase, then you need to take a look at your actions. You need to look at your methods, your manners, your conduct, your behavior. Because they have everything to do with your favor. In other words, can I just say it like this, beloved? You cannot just do and live and operate however you want to operate and walk in the favor of God. Again, this comes down to relationship. I know I've said that already many times in this message this morning. It comes down to relationship. And you cannot just do whatever you want to do and still have the fullness of the favor of God in your life. Increase in favor. In other words, you do whatever you want to do. You operate however you want to operate. And you're going to watch people to your right. Instead of 1,000 falling at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but you're prospering, you're going to watch 1,000 prosper at your side, 10,000 prosper at your right hand, and it's not going to come nigh you because there's things that you're doing, actions. Well, Pastor Thad, I think that's all under the blood. It is under the blood, but if you're continuing to do it, you're continuing to willingly sin, and of course, like the Apostle Paul said, most definitely not. Don't do that. I get more favor, more grace because I sin and I keep getting it more. No, that's not how it works. Yes, he loves you. Yes, your sins, though they were dark, they've been washed away. Yes, I understand that. But see, beloved, to walk in the blessings of God, if there's things, if God says, God says sow seeds and you're not sowing seeds. If God says to be obedient, if God says don't do this and you're doing it, you are messing with relationship. There may be some things where you may still get to heaven on it, but you will not enjoy the fullness of the blessings of God. And when you allow things that God has said no to and you keep doing it, you're going to miss out on the favor of God. Does it mean that we start feeling stressed and anxiety over it? No. Consider your ways. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Consider your ways. Are you obeying? Do you have some things in your life that shouldn't be there? Consider your ways. Consider how you're acting. Consider, are you obeying God? Are you doing what He told you to do? Consider your ways. And here's the thing I found is that when you consider your ways, God's always that faithful God. He'll show you. And when you're considering your ways, He'll show you in a gentle way that upbraideth not, doesn't scold you. And He'll say, why don't you straighten this up? It's been holding you back. And you say, thank you, Father. Amen. So we see here right off the bat is that a great passionate desire for favor. Think on your ways. Consider your ways. Think about your life. Am I in a place of good relationship? Sometimes I think about that, and you know, I'm so absolutely grateful for the helpmate that God gave me and that He's put in my life, and sometimes I'll sit there and I'll think, am I doing everything I can? I could just say it like this: am I considering my ways? I consider my ways. Is there something I can do to make her a little bit happy, and to make her happy? Doing some dishes or you know, laundry or cleaning the house of some sort, whatever. And I know she may not think I do that, but see, when I consider my ways and I think about that relationship, it increases the possibility of favors. You know, maybe she'll make dinner for me or something. Hey, you all are a testament. She's a great cook, so that's not. But do you follow me on that? That's what happens when we don't consider our ways with God. When we're just busy doing what we want to do, how we want to do it, we're not thinking about Him. It's messing with that favor return with Him. Let's go on here. It says, I entreated favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet into my testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. And again, I almost didn't put that one in there, but I felt like that's got to become one of the things that we do if we're going to operate in the favor of God. Notice how it says it. It says, I made haste. That means prompt to do it. I did it, and I didn't delay to keep my commandments. Keep your commandments. Well, let me think here. Is there a scripture that would really tie in to the being obedient? That would be number three, is be obedient. Is there a scripture, maybe one that we have read in just most recent past weeks, that would go in with this area of hastening to obey His commandments? Maybe Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you be willing and obedient. Remember that willing means there's so much about that we talked about, but it talked about if you're willing, it's like, let's do this thing. Let's pop on us. This is now, you know. And you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I wrote this down here this morning. There may be people all around you experiencing famine, eating the leftovers of the lands, getting secondhand roses of the lands. And you could be experiencing the favor of God, enjoying the best of the land. But you got to be willing and obedient. In the day of God's power, what's present? The willingness of His people. Amen. I just love God keeps bringing that up. I don't think it's just me, but you've got to be willing and obedient, and you're going to have the favor of God increase in your life. Amen? So the willingness comes in on the delay area to be quick to obey Him, be quick to do Him favors, and beloved, it will increase to you. All right, so that was the first three, and we just found those in one scripture. I think we got six things we'll cover here, so we're halfway there. Number four, let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Oh, goodness gracious. Time. When we get in heaven, there's going to be a lot of preachers finally really happy because time will... I'll say, I'm just going to preach for a minute, right? A year later, I'm just still preaching. Just a minute. All right, let's wrap this up. Let's get these done. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. It says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates." Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me, they're waiting, they're hearing, they're watching. Whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor, the favor of the Lord. Whosoever findeth me, that's the key. And I would say that's the fourth thing, is simply seek God. Go after God. Just that was this morning. Just get lost in Him. Go after Him. Nothing else matters but who He is. In the midst of your job, in the midst of everything else, your mind is, do your job, but your mind is centered and focused on who God is and what He has for you and His blessings and His goodness. And you're on your way to work and you just get lost up in the goodness of God. The increase of favor is finding me, going after Him. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that God's hiding from you, playing some sort of twisted game of hide and go seek. But He and His riches are hidden for you. And I think that's one of the most important things, that He doesn't hide from you. He hides things for you. Why? Because 1,000 may not enjoy them at their left, at your side. 10,000 may not enjoy them at your right hand. But He saved it for you. He saved it for those that will seek Him. Because if you'll seek Him, Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 29:13, don't have to look there, but it says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you're looking at me, for me, with your whole heart." When you want more of me, when you want everything I have for me, and you're seeking after me, you're going to find me. And when you find me, you're going to find favor. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you find Him? You find Him by spending that time with Him, by reading His Word, by prayer, by listening, by speaking in the heavenly language. And it'll open up to you the favor of God on your life. Again, favor is an extension of relationship. Number five, Proverbs chapter 3. Hallelujah. A lot of these are very similar in their nature, but they're all good. Number five, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So what is it? Go out, have a hunger for the Word. Hunger for the truth. Well, isn't that very similar to continually seeking God? Yeah. But again, it's come down. I want to know the truth. I want to know your truth. I want to know your ways. I want to know how you think. And beloved, a lot of people want to know how God thinks without going to where His ideas are in the Word. Beloved, we've got to create a hunger and a passion for the Word. We've got to want it more than anything else. Seek it with our whole hearts. When your passions become His passions, then His favor will operate on your life. God delights in those that love His Word. Go over to Proverbs 13. This got me this morning when I read this. Because we're talking about the favor. It says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding findeth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, we got to pull all this stuff together here. Because it starts back there in verse 13 and says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. But good understanding, which would be someone that receives the word, findeth it gives favor. And man, that hit me. Because again, despising doesn't mean going, I don't like you. Despising simply means you don't place it at the top, the position it should be. Despising simply means that if it's supposed to be up here, you don't have it up there. And so it says, he who despises the word will be destroyed, and those that don't despise the word, that have good understanding and receive the word, will find favor. Man, I thought about that, and I thought, I'm just going to read that. Which one of these tracks of thoughts match yours? Ugh. Church again. Another long, boring sermon. Probably something I've heard before. Church. I can't wait. Man, I wish there was something easier to do than just Bible. Pastor Thad always says, first part is getting the Word more. It's just hard for me. I don't like getting in the Word very much. It seems like it's always a burden to get in the Word. The Word. I get to get in the Word. Oh, I can't wait to get in the Word. I got to get home. I got to get my kids to sleep so I can sit down with my Bible and read my Bible, sit down with a book of the goodness of God and read the book, to listen to sermons. I can't wait. Why do I have to read the Bible at all times? I get to read the Bible at all times. There are 100 things more important to me than going to church. Going to church is my top priority. Now again, you see, one of those ways of thinking is despising the word. Is that when it comes to the word, when it comes to the, there was a pastor's wife that my dad finally corrected. I think she finally got some things straightened out. But he went down to their church and to preach, like he does with our churches, and he went in. And he started preaching, and there was nobody in the sanctuary. Just the pastor and just a couple. And for worship, it was full. And he's trying to figure out what, and one by one, people would come in, and he could see out in the foyer area. And the pastor's wife and a bunch of the ladies of the church just stood out there and jibber-jabbered for about 30 minutes until they finally made it in and made it in for the last part. That's despising the word. That's not putting the priority in the word that it needs to have. And she came in.
Oh, I don't know.
She came in one time and said something. He goes, how do you know? You missed half the sermon. She did not appreciate it very much, but one person left my dad's church and sent him a letter, said, this is why I left your church. And it was all about things that he preached. And he sent them back a letter, very clear, and says, I don't have any idea how you know what I preach because you play on your phone all service. They despise the word. They didn't put the word. They didn't sit there and digest it and say, well, is that what it says? I still remember the couple that came to our church when we were down in Texas. And they didn't necessarily believe how we believed, but God told them to start coming to our church. And they came. And he would on more than one occasion come up to me and look at me and go, you know what? I've heard that scripture preached all my life. I've never heard it preached the way you preached it. But you know what? That is what it says. I'm like, I know. He said, I can't argue it because that is what it says. I said, I know. That's the reason God has us is to be built to be, and His Word is coming, and He has a pastor up here that's here in His heart to give you things and maybe twist things a little bit to where you receive it, and then He has other preachers. He has Pastor Elisa and Pastor Karen and Doc comes up here on Sunday night, and He gives you things in just a little different flavor. Why? Because there's some people that honor the Word, that love the Word, that put the Word of God first of all. And if you will do it too, and you will come in here with an open heart and a hungry heart to receive that Word, God will give you the Word in due season. Amen. All right, let's finish this up, and I'm done. I only get to preach one time today, so. All right, so do we get that one? Have the hunger for the Word. Don't despise the Word. Make it a passion of yours. Word comes first. Amen. All right. And finally, number six. Oh, and this one was, I read it, and I had to pray over this one. That's why I went six, because I really had to listen. Proverbs chapter 11. I'll wrap this up. It won't take very much longer. Even though I know you guys don't despise the Word, your backsides can get tired. Got stuff you got to get done. Got to get some cooking done, some cherry cheesecake made. I don't know if Jessica put that on there yet. It's supposed to be on there. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27. It says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. So, mischief shall come unto him. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. So I asked him, I said, okay, what's the secret here? What are you telling us here? And pretty much it came down to two things. First of all, look and seek after doing good for others. Look for good. Look to do good. To do good. He that diligently seeketh good. You're looking not for mischief, not to do bad to others, but to do good to others. So what does this come down to? Seed time and harvest. Look to do favors for others. It's amazing how many people want people to do them favors, and they can't take the time to do favors for other people. This is as simple of a principle in the Word of God as there is. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Whatsoever things you sow is exactly the thing that you're going to reap. It don't get no easier. Well, you want favor in your life? Start doing. Do favors for God. We talked about that last week. But do favors to others. Search. Look for good. It's the first thing God showed me. The second thing He revealed to me in this, again, and again, I think it's He that diligently seeketh good. And here's how he told me. He said, look and seek to do things as outrageously good as you can. Think about that. In other words, your eyes are looking to do good. That's the word tov, remember? Which means outrageously good. Look to do things good. All right, here's what. Pastor Thad asked me to do an offering. I know 150 scriptures on offering, so I'm just going to wing it. Well, you're not doing things as good as you can. But I got a lot of things on my plate. You're not doing things as good as you can. Get in the Word. Find out what God has for you. Get a little bit of background on it. Have the Word, but have the Word. Do it good. Do it right. Well, I'm playing an instrument for God, so it's okay if I mess up. He still loves me. Yeah, you haven't did good. You haven't done good. Did good. Didn't do good. Didn't did good. Well, you guys insert the right proper grammar right there. If you don't give your best, I'm just like, because it says, he that diligently seeketh good. Are you working at giving your best? And I'm not going to get into that as deep as I could. Let me give you a quick example on how this thing, to where you really understand this. Okay. Person starts a contracting company, a construction company, okay? He gets a deal. He gets a, he makes a bid and he gets a contract. And so he goes and he uses really bad materials. He gets faulty nails and faulty screws and really weak, poor, materials. And he does a shabby job and he leaves things messy and dirty and half done, and he walks away and can't figure out why nobody wants to hire him, why he doesn't have a good name. It's because he didn't seek to do good. He didn't do the best. Jerry Savelle says, go after excellence. And so if my number six, if you just want what number six is, strive for excellence and doing good. I think that's suffice to say. Do your best. Do your goodest. And do good for others. And, beloved, these things, again, I don't know if this is an exhaustive study, but it's several things that if we put these things to work, we'll begin watching the favor of God increase. And the more you see it increase, the more you'll salivate for that next level of increase. I need a little more. I need a little more. That's kind of like when we get into praise and worship and all of a sudden we're like, we're there. And then you're like, okay, I don't want to leave here. Let's take it up a notch. And there was one point this morning when the instruments, I was getting ready to wrap it up and the instruments started doing something. I'm going, yeah, just go with that. That was better. So that's the way it is with favor. Amen. The once you've tasted of it, kind of stinks not walking in it after that. Amen. You want it more. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The favor of God. I tell you what, don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't you dare try to go through life without it, because what a waste. That's like Bill Gates' kids going, no, Dad, I don't need any help. I'm good. There's a dumpster out back of the high school, and I'll just take some food from there. And I know a lot of kids that don't eat their full food. No, go ahead and let Dad buy you dinner. Right? Go ahead and let Dad take care of you. Utilize what he's provided for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Amen. I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. So expect it. Tonight. All right. We've got 6 hours, I think, before we're back here tonight. Be here a little bit earlier because then we can start at 6. So we got 6 hours before we're here again. And so you got 6 hours to come back with reports today of the favor of God. I'm gonna come up to you and I'm gonna go, okay, what happened to you today in favor of God? So you better get something going here. You better get your expectation up. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I love you guys. If y'all can help out here and clear those, if you know, Kenny, if you can't lift, that's cool. I'll just stay around here and smile and pat us on the back and tell us what a good job we're doing. If I can have a couple of the guys set up the volleyball courts, the holes are still where they're supposed to be, so you know exactly how wide it is. We'll spray paint them tonight. But if we can get everything done here in a few minutes, the more hands, the merrier. And then tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be back here, and we're just going to sit back and enjoy one another. Amen. I love you. Go with God. Oh, and if you plan on going out here, I think we're going to play volleyball and stuff like some stuff out on the lawn. So if you have those little lawn chairs or whatever, we'll bring a couple, but we by no means have enough for everybody. If you've got a couple of them, bring them along with you, and we'll sit them out there, and we can just sit out there and talk and enjoy the sweat off our brow. I love you guys. Go with God, walk in His blessings. Prosper, be healthy, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I love you. God bless you. Go with God.